Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we were living La Vida lockdown. But now we're free. Yay! So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine, and we try and make some sense of it. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Right, so I am channeling my inner Nana and drinking Bellini Lambrusco del Emilia.
Yeah.
It's actually nicer than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to hate it.
I thought that would be a trash box. Yeah, trash box.
I'm enjoying it.
Good, because I'm enjoying mine too. I'm drinking Gossip's Sweet Lips Moscato, and I picked it purely for the topic this week. Yeah.
She's also a certified trash bag, as we all are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, feel free to judge her. I am.
Yeah.
That's fine. I am drinking Wiley Rooster Merlot because, well, I actually felt like red. I know it's warm today, but I actually felt like some red, red wine. So that's what I am drinking. So, Sarah, what is our topic for tonight?
So, our topic for tonight is urban legends.
Yeah.
So, amazing movie, just saying.
Oh, yes.
So, what is an urban legend? So urban legends, urban myths, urban tales, and contemporary legends are all types of folklore comprising of stories circulated as truth or having a connection to, you know, a friend of a friend or a friend of a family, generally also having paranormal or supernatural aspects to it, or to do with shock value, and having a cautionary tale to it. So, you know, this shit happened, beware. Or you could too end up decapitated.
So kind of like, you know, the boy who cried wolf sort of situation.
Yeah.
We all know the story. We all know what the tale is, the cautionary tale.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't know if it actually happened.
Okay. So, but they do tend to have some form of truth behind them, but they had to have come from somewhere.
Yeah.
So a couple of urban legends that you may have heard of is The Hook or Lover's Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you go drive to a secluded spot to have a little bit of a patch and you hear that weird noise. Your partner goes off to search for it. Then you hear that scratching and you're like, where the fuck's my partner? Oh, get out of the car and he's hanging upside down from a tree.
Yep.
Swinging back and forth.
Yep.
So the next one is Coca-Cola actually made Fanta for Nazi Germany.
Oh.
So the legend goes, the guy that was running the Coca-Cola branch in Germany made Fanta purely for the Nazis. But oh. Coke didn't want people to know. I don't know if that's true. Again, how much of that is true?
Yeah.
It's urban legend.
I feel like none of it would be, but anyway, continue.
Yeah. So another recent one, actually it was quite recent, in the last 2 years, going around America and even here in Australia, is like the no headlight. So if you're driving down the road and you see someone with no headlights, usually you flash them to say, fuck wit, turn your fucking headlights on. It's the middle of the night. But whoever does flash them gets followed home and murdered. It's a part
Ooh,
of the
that's an old one.
See, I've only
Although, heard... yes, I know the story you're talking about. That actually recently happened not that long ago. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I know nothing. This is the first I'm hearing about
it's
all
some
of
kind of gang-related initiation.
Well, it's one of the original stories was that it was actually an initiation thing for college students in the US, and then it got real weird out of hand. It's in the movie Urban Legend. It's like right at the start.
Oh,
I don't even remember that.
But I've actually had someone tell me, come up to me and say, like at the side of my car, go, you don't have your headlights on, and I'm like, oh, thanks, because my car does not actually tell me when I don't have my headlights on.
That That's happened to me too. I've had a dude flash his lights behind me and then speed up beside me. And I'm thinking, oh, good, there's an axe murderer in the back of my car. Amazing. And only for him to wind down his window and go, hey, mate, your back tail lights out. Yeah. And I'm like, yep, thanks, mate.
Well, funny you mentioned serial killers in the back seat, because that was the next one I was going to mention. The back seat serial killer. Because, you know, it happened to a friend of a friend of a friend of mine. She got in a car, went to drive off, and then all of a sudden, she got murdered by someone hiding in her back seat.
It happens, though. You've got to check your back seat. Yeah.
But how often does it happen? Does it really happen?
Anytime there's ever been somebody I was not expecting in my back seat, it was one of you two. So.
Yeah, well, they're usually drunk. The next one is the P&G company was apparently associated with Satan worshippers. This came around about, I think it was the 1970s or something. Something about their logo that was connected to Satan worshipping. So they've actually had to change. It affected the company, this freaking urban.
Do you have a picture of the logo?
I don't have a picture of the logo. I couldn't find it because I didn't look for it.
Our local state police department, they've got a symbol and it's a star. If you have a really good look, it's actually an upside down pentagram. So
yeah.
No one has changed that yet. I have raised this with several people.
It's fine. But yeah, so that actually affected the entire company. Just one little story affected the entire company that had to change their logo. So reading all about how urban legends come around made me kind of think, is there a basis to think that maybe fairy tales could have once been urban legends and then they've just been changed just that little bit to make them a little bit more whimsical? Because, you know, it's just one of those things.
Start off with this story of this guardian angel in the back of your car that, you know, might be looking over you to make sure that you don't crash your car. And now it's all of a sudden a psycho murderer in there to kill you. Yeah, great. Good progression. Like,
when
you
think about it, take Hansel and Gretel.
Okay.
So it's a fairy tale. But was it always a fairy tale or was it an urban legend about two misbehaving kids whose parents were fucking sick of them and dumped them in the woods?
That used to happen all the time, just putting it out there. When they couldn't feed them and stuff like that, they literally would dump children in the woods.
So misbehave, well, we're poor. No, we're just going to dump you. And then you're going to get eaten by a witch.
Yeah, because she had no money either. Exactly. So, yeah.
And it happened to these two kids. This kid named Hansel and Gretel. Little fat fuckers. Ate all the food. And it could have started out as kind of like an urban legend, but then once, you know, what are their names? Brothers Grimm. So simple, I can't think.
Sarah's doing really well.
Yeah, Sarah's doing really well. And I've only kind of skimmed over everything that I've written. But yeah. So yeah.
I'm not even following along anymore.
Don't even. So yeah, once the Brothers Grimm got hold of them, even their stories were kind of gruesome.
Kind of.
Very, very gruesome and very much urban legend-y kind of format until then Disney got hold of it and.
Yeah.
Made them pretty.
It made them pretty. So I don't know what this signal is. Oh, I think that was meant to be segment, but when I dictated it to myself, it changed and became something completely apples. So
it says, this brings me to my signal, which I thought being the time that it is Christmas.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's all coming up apples, Amy. So, yeah, this brings me to my segment, which I thought, being that the time is around Christmas, I would look into some Christmas urban legends or myths.
Oh, cool.
Now, I started looking into one, but it kind of connected to two others, so I thought I'd just do three of them as a whole. So it's the Icelandic Christmas urban legends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Don't expect me to pronounce the Icelandic names. I tried.
I really wanted to.
Yeah. I destroyed it.
Just 100%.
I have written one of the Icelandic names in here. So I'll give that one. Actually, there's two. I'll give them a crack, but look.
We have listeners in Europe who may be able to help us out. Oh, reach out to 100%. Us, FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. If Sarah completely butchers this and you know how to say things, great.
You can do it with the English words too.
Even okay. If English is your ninth language, we probably are wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start with Gryla. That is actually her Icelandic name. It's very simple. So she's supposed to be an ugly-ass giant who lives out in a cave. Now, she wasn't really, so she was mentioned first roughly around 13th century in Norse mythology. She really had no connection to Christmas at the time. There was nothing connecting her to Christmas. But then around the 17th century, a poem was released, and that kind of connected her to Christmas, okay, or like the Yule holidays. So she lives in a cave, and she comes down to hunt children, so naughty children, of course.
Well, not the good ones, obviously.
Not the good ones. So the good ones never get eaten. So she comes down and she carries them away in a giant sack, and she takes them back to her cave where she devours them. So children are her favourite food. She likes to turn them into stews.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know.
Well, they're tender.
Yeah. So the poem actually kind of helps you when you need to know how to get rid of her. So if you feed her, she will leave. You could also chase her away, but, you know, she's a fucking giant, so I'd probably say try feeding her first, just so.
Maybe get her a glass of wine.
Get her some wine, some cheese, a bit of bread.
And maybe a chair. Just sit out and chill with her. Maybe just see what's on her mind. Like, maybe get to know her a little bit. Maybe there's a reason she's a cranky old mole.
Oh, I don't know. 100% I know why she's a cranky old mole.
It's just going to give her 350.
So the reason why she's probably a cranky old mole is because she's married. To Lapaludi. I think that's how you say the name. If it's not, I am sorry. But yeah, he's fucking lazy. He doesn't leave the cave generally. So yeah, I can see why she's cranky.
So who feeds him? She has to go out and procure the food. To feed them both.
Yes, that's exactly it.
You bring it to my house. I've got wine and cheese. I'll sort her out. It's fine.
But she did actually have other husbands. She was married before him, and she had other kids, but none of them are actually mentioned.
Where did the giant children go?
Well, I will get to those.
Oh, okay.
So, So I will move on. Actually, this is where I move on to those children. I should read ahead. Welcome to Friday Night Wi-Fi, where Sarah doesn't know what she's doing because she doesn't read what she has written. And what she has written isn't actually written very well, because she usually uses the microphone to dictate it. And it comes up. So I will move on to the Yule Lass. These might sound familiar. And Gryla might sound familiar if you've watched the new Sabrina series on Netflix.
No.
There is an episode with Gryla and the Yule Lads in it. So the Yule Lads are her children. There are 13 of these mischievous pranksters who steal from people and harass people. Kidnap children. Yeah. She's got
13
little bastards.
So she's got 13 kids and like a stack of ex-husband and a useless current husband. Yeah, mate, bring that bitch to me. I got wine. We can talk about some stuff.
Yeah. So they kidnap, harass people, and take children back to their mother. You know, all the normal stuff that children do. So they come down the mountain one at a time during the 13 days before Christmas. They're very organized. So one goes. Then the next one goes, and the next one. They need to do it in order, or else it gets messy.
Yeah, some sort of numbering system.
Yeah. So they've actually been likened to little bits like Santa, as in they leave good children presents in a shoe that the kids would have put on the windowsill. So they get presents in a shoe.
Okay.
The naughty kids, now this is no reason for me to behave. Naughty kids will get a potato in the shoe.
Well, I don't mind potatoes.
Exactly. I like potatoes.
This is fine. This is fun. This is not a punishment. I am grateful for all the different ways I can eat potatoes.
Yeah.
Or as a child, I could just use my potato for being naughty to peg at my brother and take his good present. So
yeah,
exactly. So as I go on in my writings for some reason about how potatoes are amazing. Because let's
I have it. A similar segment in my piece too. Yeah. Weirdly.
So So the Yule lads are generally depicted as wearing traditional, I don't know what this traditional moon by Santa. This is a new brand. I'm actually not sure what the hell this is. That is hilarious. What the fuck? I'm using this dictator more. Okay, so they're depicted generally as wearing more medieval traditional Icelandic clothing and sometimes Santa type clothing. But I'm liking this traditional moon by Santa.
that's their indie brand. They've just got a little startup on Etsy. Yeah, you can follow them on Instagram. Yeah.
Fucking love it. So.
Moon by Santa, but by Sarah.
Yeah. So each one of them does have their own name. And I'm going to tell you their names, but only in the English, because I didn't write down the Icelandic, because there is no way I can freaking do that.
And the translation is going to be hilarious, I can imagine.
Yeah, seriously. It is amazing. So, Sheep Coat Clod, that is the first one. Now, he harasses sheep. This is how it's written. Harasses sheep, but is impaired by his stiff peg leg. What type of harassing to these sheep is this guy doing?
Oh, my God.
His peg leg.
Is he, like, travelling down to New Zealand or something?
Maybe. Okay, the next one. The
origin story of New Zealand. They banished this guy and he started New Zealand.
So, the next one is Gully Gawk. He hides in gullies, waiting for an opportunity to sneak into cow sheds to steal milk.
Okay.
Yep, next. Stubby. Yeah, he came to Australia. Stubby. He's abnormally short, steals pans to eat the crusts that are left on them.
That's the fucker.
Yeah.
Stealing the pants. Yeah.
Spoon licker. I think the name speaks for itself. Pot scraper also speaks. Bowl licker. Door slammer.
Oh, yeah. That's self-explanatory.
And now I'm going to pronounce it wrong. It's like sky. It's SKYR. Like sky. I don't know.
Yeah, sky.
Yeah, it's a yogurt like thing.
Ew.
Yeah. So he gobbles that up. That's his treat. Sausage swiper.
Same.
He hides. He hides in rafters, snatching sausages that are being smoked. Yeah, same for Bianca.
Bianca is now called Sausage Slapper.
That's her name.
No swiping.
Every time we go out now, every time you line up a bloke, I'm going to be like, swiper, no swiping.
All right. The next one is Window Peeper. Explanatory.
Okay.
Meat Hook. So Meat Hook uses hooks to steal meat. Candle Stealer. So he follows children like a creep to steal their candles, which back then were made from tallow, so you could eat them.
This sounds very much like the mum has clearly gotten the shits with her teenage children and changed all their names to what she now screams at them because of the crap that they do. Yeah.
The last one, and I think this is my favourite, just because it's so, why would you? Doorway Sniffer. So he has a really big nose and a really good sense of smell, which he can use to locate bread. Doorway sniffer.
Yeah, this mum's clearly, she's done with her 13 children. Yeah. She's done.
So they are also in a poem. Yeah, it's just, they're just amazing with their names.
Do you have the poem?
I don't have the poem. Jesus, I don't read it
like several times.
I have.
I'm waiting for the fucking poem. No, but you don't even have
it. Icelandic, fucker. And I don't speak Icelandic.
Translate it into English and say it. It'd be hilarious.
Anyway. You've had 2 days to learn since we picked this topic at the team meeting. Like, why are we not fluent by now?
I'm sorry. I told you. But I did discover that there are actually more Yule lads, or Yule sisters, I'm going to call them.
Yule bitches.
Yule bitches. So they live by the ocean. Instead of the mountains, they come from the ocean.
Okay.
When your brothers are, named these things based on their activities, you'd probably want to leave home too, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's more of they were kicked out. So the two females, they like to steal melted fat. And in stealing it, they hid it in socks or stuffed it up their noses.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So I'm thinking the chicks got kicked out of the tribe because they were just too fucking freaky.
I finished my bottle.
So I'm going to move on to what originally caught my eye. It's called the Yule Cat.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm very much a cat person. And who doesn't like a big murder floof? Amy has one at her house, and I love
it. She does. She does have a murder floof.
I am looking at my murder floof right now. You are no longer named the name I gave you. You are now Murder Floof.
So it has an Icelandic name. It's not just called Yule Cat. I don't really want to try and pronounce it, but for comedy's sake, I shall.
Yay! Do it!
So it's Julkertenrinnen.
Hey, that's actually probably pretty close.
It's something similar to that.
I tried to look it up, but Jolakutterinen. Yeah, so I think you're doing way better than me.
Jolakutterinen, something like that. So it is a huge, massive, ferocious cat. I will put pictures on the blog of it, drawings of it, because there's no actual proof. That roams around the snowy countryside, and during Christmas, it goes down to villages and peers into people's windows to see who's been good or bad. Now, how they work out who is good and bad for this cat. So, because it's medieval dark ages and things weren't really affordable and clothing was made mainly from wool, which was actually affordable. So in order to prep the wool to make the clothing, all the family members would have their job in order to prep it. If you didn't do your job and you slacked off, you wouldn't get new clothes before Christmas. So you'd be wearing the same outfit as you wore last year.
Oh, that's terrible. I couldn't imagine the horror.
Exactly. Yeah. And the cat would notice this. You're like, that fucking
holy fuck, this is my house.
For 2 years.
It's the same judgmental look my cat gives me when I'm trying to look for Christmas outfits. And cat's like, you wore that last year, you hobo.
And if your cat was the Yule Cat, he would eat you.
It probs is, actually. He hasn't eaten me yet.
He hasn't eaten you yet. But, if you didn't have new clothing by Christmas Eve, he'd eat you. He is the first form of fashion police.
Yes.
That is on record.
Yep. Documented. Happened.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't wear the same outfit twice. So the
Yule Cat. Not to Christmas. Oh, no.
So the Yule Cat is actually the pet of the Yule Lads and Gryla.
Oh.
So that's how it was all connected and why I was going to originally just do the cat, but then I went, it's connected to the Yule Lads. And it's also connected to Gryla because, she's the mother of all of it. So
that poor bitch, Gryla, if you're out there, reach out, FridayNightWinefire@gmail.com. We will sort you out, darling. Don't worry, you're in a safe space now.
I mean, you've got fucking 13 kids, a fucking lazy ass husband, and a giant fucking cat to feed. I mean, shit. Although the cat finds his own food. So, Cat's probably the only decent thing you've got going for you. Become a crazy cat giant.
Lives in your house.
Yeah. Become a crazy cat giant, you'll be fine. Should say lady giant. All right. Well, that actually ends my segment. Giant cat eats children who don't get new socks. Don't be lazy, you little fuck.
Original fashion police, y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Yeka.
Y'all.
What is your urban legend?
Legends. Yes. Yes. So, we had the meeting on Wednesday, and then Thursday I was applying for jobs, and I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything Friday. I'll totally write my segment. And then today I got a side hustle. So, yeah, nothing fucking happened, and I'm reading off my phone. So, strap yourself in.
And it's a legit side hustle, people. For all y'all who are thinking, or y'all who are thinking, maybe it's not a legit side hustle. It sounds actually legit. So,
yeah.
I would also like to point out that I am editing this week, so she's probably also done this on purpose.
I totally didn't.
I did my homework, Miss Sarah.
You just don't want to get eaten by the murder floof.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in her company. Like, what do you want me to do? I live with it. Like Sarah. So.
It does like.
That's right. It doesn't like me, though.
Okay. Doesn't like Amy either, but, you know.
Doesn't like anybody. Apart from the dog. Whatever. And the dog. Likes
and the dog. Who doesn't like the dog?
Yeah. Right. Because it doesn't know it's a murder fleece. It thinks it's some sort of weird pigeon thing. Anyway. Oh, so, I've got a couple because they're pretty short. And, yeah, so I'll crack into my first one. So mine are sort of true or urban legends. I'll say true loosely. Like, I don't have anything to back this up except for the story. So, my first one. Outside the Bristol Zoo in England, there is a parking lot for about 150 cars, eight coaches or buses, right? The story goes the lot was manned by a very nice, pleasant attendant. A lovely man, right? With a ticket machine, he charged the cars around £1 and the coaches £5. The parking attendant worked there for 25 years. Then one day, he just didn't show up for work, right? So the Bristol Zoo management were like, oh, we better phone up the city council and get them to send a new parking attendant.
Where did he go? Is he okay? No. Let's call like his family or something. No, let's just order another attendant.
Well, it wasn't their attendant. It was owned by the council, right? So they called the council. The council said, no, that parking lot is your responsibility. And the Bristol Zoo management went, no, the attendant was employed by the city council. And the council went, no. So, sitting in his villa somewhere on the coast of Spain is a man who had been taking parking lot fees estimated at £400 per day for 25 years. Assuming 7 days a week, that's £3.6 million. And nobody knows his name.
Oh, man. He's my new hero. I love this guy so much.
Right? I'm like, oh, my God.
But he couldn't have been.
Oh, was he a ghost? Probably not. It was probably some dude ripping people off. Yes, it's awesome.
I just love that the zoo is like, oh, he didn't turn up. Well, who's going to take the money for the things, you know? It's not us. That's the council. And the council's just like, no.
No, I'm sorry. We don't know what you're on about.
Yeah. So that was story number one. And then,
sorry, many questions about that story that you can't answer, so I'll ask you off air. Yeah.
I'll ask away because I can't answer them, and Sarah have to edit it out. It's fine.
No, I'm not doing that to her. I'm trying not to.
I really appreciate that. I have no answers to anything.
No.
But if it's a bit of banter, I'm up for it.
Where did it come from? How did he start his job there? Like, who employed him? Like, how did he just roll up and go, hey, I'm Frank, and I'm your new ticket inspector. Where'd the old ticket inspector go? Where were the fees going before that? Is this like a intergenerational hustle? And then all of a sudden, the last guy just, like, didn't have, like, anybody to pass the hustle on to? Like, how did this even happen? Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah, my second story, which is one of my favorites. Oh, my God. So, one night, right, so these robbers, this is in Ireland, okay, they went to a bank and they were like, right, so we know how to crack safes. We'll go in there and we'll crack the safe. We'll take the money. We'll take the jewels and we're out. So they get in and they're expecting one safe because the bank generally has one safe. Instead, they were confronted with several small safes and they're like, okay, all right, well, we'll just crack them. So they go to the first one, they crack the safe. Once open, they find a bowl of pudding, like this container of pudding. And they're like, well, that's weird.
Is it fresh?
So, yeah, well, they ate it.
Well, I mean, that was Edward T. Bear the Third's porridge, and if you eat it, someone will come for you. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so they ate the pudding, and then they go to the next safe. Again, it's got pudding in it. So they crack all the safes, and it was all full of pudding. And they're like, well, that's weird. They ate all the pudding. And so they left with no money, no jewels, and tummy aches. The best part is the next day, the Irish newspapers, headlines read, Ireland's largest sperm bank robbed.
Oh.
I fucking love it.
So there is no, like, I mean, this is just a weird myth or something that it's a story. Yeah. It's not something that was ever in the paper or anything like that. Not that anyone can tell.
Yeah, I have not fact checked. Like I said, I haven't had time to do.
So it could actually be a true story. Just haven't checked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whether they actually ate it or not, we don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They said that, well, the story goes that there was nothing left. And, yeah, whether they ate it, we don't know, unless there were security cameras, which I don't know, because I didn't do my research. So, yeah, like that's like two of my little stories that I had. I can pick another one, but I haven't read it, so I can't tell you whether it's good or not. So
I can crack on to mine. I don't mind.
Yeah. That was me done. I just wanted to be quick and short and funny.
I thought you were going to do Slender Man, but okay.
I was going to do Slender Man originally, but it's a bit of a downer because because the whole story behind it, the girl's killing someone because of Slender Man. I just went, nah, I'm going to go light and funny this week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and that's usually my position. I usually do that. Well, everybody else is going to be a downer. I'm going to pick this shit up a little bit.
Hey, mine wasn't a downer. We had murder.
No, yours is good. Yeah.
Yours is good, yeah.
And it's Christmas. Who doesn't love Christmas?
Just on the Slender Man thing, this just goes to show that this is why we can't have nice things. We have this cool urban legend, and if anybody knows about Slender Man, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is actually really creepy. This is kind of cool. And it's the fucking millennials /, what are they, Gen Zs. They just go and shit all over it.
Yeah, Gen Zs and the creepy pasta.
And then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
All right, I'll crack in.
Your topic.
All right, so I am going to talk about Black Panthers of Victoria. Now, this is not a social movement group, people, so it's actually about big cats in Victoria and how they got there. Yeah. I'll get there, Sarah. I actually looked into that. I looked into it. I did some research. I know. Who knew I could do that?
Amy actually researched. Oh, me and Bianca failed.
Yeah.
I actually did some research into this because I was a little bit excited, and in the end it all sort of went sideways. Anyway, I'll get there. Okay, so I was going to do an Australian story this week, and when I told my lovely co-host what topic I had chosen, they both screamed at me that this was not an urban legend. It's real, and there's footage of it. I decided to proceed anyway, and I'm going to let our listeners decide whether they think it's real. So my topic is Black Panthers / Big Cats of Victoria. So first, let's talk about Victoria. Where is Victoria? So Victoria is in our home country of Australia, and it is a state. So we are in the southeast pocket of the country. So we're like right down the bottom. There's a little island off us, and it is called Tasmania. We're not them. We're Victoria. We're attached to the main body of the country. So What's this legend about? This urban legend is actually over 100 years old, with stories about sightings of black panthers and big cats, basically, ranging back to the early 1900s. There are many theories about how panthers or big cats managed to get out into the bushland of areas of Victoria. So one of the most popular theories is that the panther or big cats were probably dumped by travelling circuses, yeah, or were purchased by a circus by some, they were purchased from a circus by some random and then dumped in a bushland when the new owner realised that it was not like having a big kitty. Yeah.
I had to try.
Yeah.
Look, people, seriously, if you want a giant cat, get a bull mastiff breed dog. I had one and he was a giant.
Get a Maine Coon. Have you seen how big those are?
Yeah, Norwegian forest cats, people.
Those main things are probably the Yule cat that Sarah was talking about. So
yeah, actually, yeah. I think they may have been.
Yeah, don't get one of them. Just get a bull mastiff, mate. They're giant cats. There was a story in Traralgon in the newspaper from 1903 of a family who purchased an elephant from a circus, and they got it because they wanted it to help with farming. So the story goes that they wanted to strap water vessels to it and get it to carry them from the creek. Well, let's just say it didn't really go that well. It ended really sadly, so I'm not going to go into it. But basically, in the end, they ended up having to let it, I think it escaped because, it got into the kitchen and then tore up the kitchen because it was looking for food when it was left unattended one day. Because, I mean, they couldn't really lock it up. They didn't know how to do that. And there was really no fences that could hold it. So it kind of tore up the house. And then it was sort of let free. And then it wandered off. And then something happened to it. And it was a bit horrible. So I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
The whole thing is don't buy circus animals. Don't do that, guys. Yeah, don't do that.
Unless you're equipped. Unless you're Carol Baskin level equipped to look after it.
Well, you know. An actual zoo.
Yeah, or an actual zoo. But if you're an ordinary person, be like Carol Baskin ordinary. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't try and be the Tiger King of Victoria. Yeah. That's what I'm putting out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to the panthers. Another origin story is that the panthers and big cats were actually brought over during the war as mascots from visiting military groups. Then they were set loose in order to avoid having to cart them home or shoot them. Oh, so basically, yeah. After I wrote this bit, I did a little bit more research and I didn't add this into my notes, but I am going to say it. So basically what happened was I'm not going to point fingers at certain people, but visiting military groups brought over babies of big cats as their mascots because they were easy to look after and, you know, basically handle. So they could just, you know, get a cheetah cub or something like that. And what would happen is that the high-ranking members of the military would go to Africa and they would go shooting. And they would shoot often the parent and they would have all these babies. And they'd go, oh, we'll just take one and that can be our mascot for our military base. Yeah. So apparently when they came to Australia and when they were visiting military bases in Victoria, which we know that there are certain military bases in Victoria that are actually in bushland. So when they were out there, they went, okay, well, you know, this was back in World War II.
Yeah.
So they were faced with the decision of, okay, well, it's now, you know, a year old. It's giant. We can't handle it anymore. We can shoot it or we can just let it out in the bushland. It'll be fine. It'll find its own food. You know, it'll be all right. Yeah. Apparently this happened quite a bit, but there's no documentation about this for obvious reasons because it breaches many protocol even back then. So, So I was sort of, when I was reading this story, it said that they were pumas though. And I'm like, pumas? Are they different to panthers? How is this relevant? I don't understand. So I looked up what's the difference between a puma and a panther. According to the San Diego Zoo, a panther is a general term for a cat that has a solid coat.
That's why you get tan and black.
Correct. So it's a term used for pumas and black jaguars.
Yeah. Okay.
So a puma is like an American mountain lion. So they tend to be beige.
Yeah, they're the tan ones. They're the beige. Yeah. The beige dealies.
Like a black jaguar.
Yeah.
All right. So if pumas were set loose in Victoria, they were probably beige. But there's very little coverage of what colour the animals were because, well, I mean, they didn't document this stuff very well. I mean, there's photos, but we don't know whether those were the animals that were set loose or not. And I'm just like, well, if they're probably beige, how are we seeing black ones at the moment? I don't understand. Well, that led me down another rabbit hole, which was, well, I mean, aren't these things endangered? Like, wouldn't we notice? Like, how would we not notice there was, like, a group of mountain lions roaming around Gippsland or something like that? Well, it turns out mountain lions and black panthers or black jaguars, there's different varieties of the species. They're actually found all over the world. I didn't know this. I thought this was going to be something that was like protected somewhere. No. So pumas, mountain lions, and the different varietals of these sorts of things are actually found in parts of Europe. They're found all over Africa. They're found all over North America and South America. They're not commonly found in Asia, but there's lots of reasons as to why. But yeah, basically they're kind of like rabbits. You find them everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really Australia.
No, but turns out if they were set loose years ago and there's lots of them out there, well, maybe. Okay. Don't know.
Yeah, but wouldn't you suspect? I mean, yes, we're quite a big country and, yes, we have a lot of bushland, but I reckon we would have noticed by now if we had.
As a population, we're fair dense. I'm just putting it out there. Would we have noticed?
As humans go.
I probably wouldn't
We're
have noticed.
We're not the densest.
Putting it out there. I probably wouldn't have noticed. Anyway, so some of this actually sounds plausible.
Yeah.
However, these stories go back, as I said, over 100 years. Surely they've died out by now. How on earth did these origin stories account for the recent sightings that have been in the media? How does this work? Injured. I don't know. I literally don't know. And that's the thing, is if you think about, like, species that are really, really inbred, I'm not going to name names, but there are certain zoo organisations in Australia that inbreed tigers constantly. And then when I was at a facility looking at tigers with my daughter, they pointed out one tiger and said, yeah, that's blah, blah, blah. He's a bit slow because he's a bit inbred because he's the third generation of brother and sister.
Yeah.
And I went, should not be telling people that. I actually yelled that over the fence. You shouldn't be telling people that. Anyway, I was one of those angry moms. Anyway.
Oh, come on.
So I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how these things work. And obviously, if they are basically spread over the globe, they managed to find a mating partner. So if they were just set loose left, right, and center, maybe? I don't know.
Can they breed with other cats?
Well, yes, because as we have learned from Tiger King, if you breed a tiger with a lion, it's called a ligra.
Yeah, a ligra. Like a house cat and a panther.
No.
I don't actually think, in actual fact, I don't think they're the same species of feline, so I don't think that that's possible. But we also know from looking at horses and donkeys, if they breed together, they have a mule, and a mule actually can't breed itself.
Yes.
So I'm not 100% sure. Look, I'm a fairly drunk chick in her mid-30s who's done some Googling on this topic. I am by no means an expert at all.
Yeah.
Go out and check this out for yourselves, people. So let's talk about some of the recent sightings that made my co-host yell at me that this was not an urban legend.
Well, there was a picture on the Monita Peninsula Facebook page. Yep.
I'm getting there.
I just yelled it was a kangaroo.
It really wasn't. It was a cat.
Anyway. I'm getting to both of those points. Anyway, on the 10th of January this year, sorry, on the 10th of June this year, the ABC ran a story about a photo submitted by a woman living in the Otways. So in the where the Otways is it's kind of like if you look at Victoria on the map, it's kind of like the west bushland section. And it goes all the way down basically to the coast. And then pretty much all the way up into the mountain range. Well, there's not much of a mountain range that side. But, yeah, you can see it. If you look it up, you can see it. I'll put a link on the blog for this article if I remember to do so. Otherwise, just Google it. It's a pretty convincing photo, actually. And I was sort of looking at it thinking, I wonder. There has been many sightings all around the place. So I started doing a bit of a Google search to find out where these sightings were coming from. In my Google search, I actually found that there has been so many sightings in recent times that the Discovery Channel got behind some Victorians and some people, some big cat experts, who wanted to try and find this elusive panther and also other big cats that may or may not be on the loose around Australia. The documentary is called The Hunt, and it is available on Animal Planet if you have subscription TV in Australia, like Foxtel or Fetch. I decided at 9:30 last night that I was going to watch this on my Fetch box because I thought, why not? This is my research done for me.
Yeah.
Now, without giving too much away, there's still not concrete proof that they're out there. So the documentary looks at the Otways. It looks a little bit about the rest of Victoria. So we know a lot about sightings of what we call the Gippsland Panther, which is sort of the other side of Victoria in the bushlands. I didn't know there's actually a panther close to my home. Apparently in the Dandenong / Warburton area, Yarra Ranges area, there is apparently a panther up there.
Yeah, well, that's the one I knew of.
I knew of the Gippsland one.
Same. No, I didn't know.
When I was with, well, maybe I'll say who I was with, but we went out to Jambrook, that's what I heard about the panther because everyone was talking about, like, oh, what if we see the panther? I'm like, what panther?
I was more worried
about the drop bears, but, you know.
Yeah.
My friend and I, when we were talking about the Gippsland Panther and we were out on a drunken bender with our friends, decided to go looking for it at 3 o'clock in the morning. So,
Friend, her mum swears she saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, we it was one of the other friends that was with us, but the mum, someone we were visiting at the time, swears she's seen it. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
It was just the kangaroo. You're seeing things, love.
So I watched this documentary and I was all in for it. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good watch. I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to pull apart the documentary. I want people to go out and watch it because I think it was actually a good watch. So after that, I decided, well, because they couldn't outlay any sort of concrete proof or anything like that, I need to circle back and I need to look at some of these photos that the girls were going on about, like, oh, we've got proof. Okay, would it shock you to find out that this sighting photos that I have looked up, like if you Google this, some are not in Victoria and the ones that are in Victoria I actually can't find sources for. The images are reposted on, well, let's just say some questionable sites. Daily Mail.
Yeah. I was going to say Facebook.
Daily Mail. Anyway, yeah, so there's actually no real proof that there has been any sort of sightings whatsoever because the sighting photos don't offer any actual source to the image. Looking at those images, even though that they didn't have a source, and that's totally against everything that I believe in, I had a really good look. And I listened to what they said in the Hunt documentary, and basically they were saying, look, there's a couple of different things that you need to look at when you're thinking about a big cat. So you need to think about the way it moves. They don't move like dogs. If you look at wolves and if you look at foxes, they move in a certain way. And I thought foxes moved the same way like cats. Like I actually thought they were very similar. No, if you actually look at the footage of them moving, they are very different. So you know if you're looking at something in the distance, especially in the dark, you know whether it's a cat or whether it's a fox. When it's in the distance, it's really hard to gauge how big it is. So once upon a time, Sarah and I were driving down the road and we saw what we thought was a giant goat. Turns out it was a small sheep and it was on the side of the road. Yeah, because in the distance, that's how big it looked. Yeah, you don't know. From a distance, especially in the dark, you don't really know. They also said that when they were looking at the footage, they put up a lot of cameras in areas where there's been sightings, and particularly in farm areas. Where there was one particular farmer who said, okay, so I'll take you to the graveyard. And there was this giant tree out in the middle of a paddock. There was nothing around it. There was just grass. And if you go to the base of the tree, there is just skulls, bones, all sorts of stuff. And the way that they looked at it is they thought, well, hang on a minute, this is kind of like what you would find in Africa, because the panthers don't eat things on the ground. Like big cats don't usually eat things on the ground. They usually take it up a tree. Well, some do, some don't. Depends what breed it is. And the other thing that was a bit of a telltale was that the way that they would eat the animal. So not to get too graphic, but basically a dog is a messy eater and they will just hack at it.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Whereas a cat, they're an apex predator. So what they do is they snap the neck. It is very, very painless for the animal in question. They snap the neck. And then what they do is they rip the head off and then they eat from the inside out and they usually leave the skin.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And many of the carcasses that they had found in that area were found that way. So then when you were looking at the graveyard, you can see all of these bones and stuff like that at the base of the tree, very much like you would find in Africa. Ooh. So that's what made them think that, well, maybe. Anyway, so looking at all of these things, I'm just like, okay, all right, let's see if I can myth bust some of these things. So there was recently, I think it was in the last year or so, I found it in the Daily Mail. I just shit on it before, but I'm going to reference it now. There was a guy who was on his dirt bike. You guys would remember this. And there's a photo of this massive looking black cat. And he's on his dirt bike and she shot it or something like that. And it's strung up on a tree.
Yes.
And he's like, I caught the panther. Well, The Hunt actually talks about the different killings of giant black cats in Warburton areas or Gippsland areas. They didn't reference this one specifically because I think that there's not enough sources to link it back. But according to somebody from the Department of Environment or something like, I think it's DELP or something like that, they said, yeah, no, we tested the hair on that animal after it was killed. It's a domestic cat.
Okay.
It's a giant feral cat.
Yeah.
I had a cat who had nuts and he lived until he was about 14 years old and he was 12 kilos. That's a big fucking cat.
My cat is 9 kilos and he was born to a feral mother out in Gippsland.
Yeah.
They are massive.
Yeah.
And you don't understand how big these animals are. So when you're looking and when you're going, Amy's full of shit, there's heaps out there. No, if you actually have a really good look and if you're really critical about the photos, you really could see that actually maybe these are just kind of blown up feral cats. Maybe that's what they are.
It is very much possible. But Amy's also full of shit.
They also spoke about the black wallaby that is found in Victoria. It's the black kangaroo you keep banging on about.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I was making it up the entire time.
No, it's a thing. It's a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so clever and I didn't even fucking know it. Amigo.
Look, we didn't know you were clever either. We still don't know that you're clever.
I know. Look, this is 100% a fluke. I didn't know this thing existed. I've just been banging on about it for the past 10 years.
So there is a type of wallaby. So a wallaby compared to a kangaroo is very different. So you imagine like a regular human and then you imagine a midget. That's the difference between a kangaroo and a wallaby. So while there is a certain species of wallaby that is found in Victoria, which are pretty much black. Well, most of the outside is black. So when they were looking at the footage in the areas that they put up cameras, some of them actually captured these very rare black wallabies. And the guy was actually pointing out the flash of the tail and stuff like that after they'd seen the wallaby go past. And he said, see, look, if I was here to make money, I would not even show you that bit of the wallaby going past. I'd say, see that? See that? That's a big cat. What kind of thing would have a tail that big? No domestic feline, even a feral one, would have a tail that big. But we know it's a black wallaby. It's fine. Mm. So I felt for the guy, and there was actually like a team of two other blokes that were with him, and I really felt for them because they didn't really find anything conclusive. But it's a really good watch, and if you want to learn some facts about some big cats and also about some Australian wildlife, look it up. There is a really good segment that I'm not going to go into about mountain lions that may or may not be in Western Australia and the noise they make to get you to come out your tent so they can eat you. Oh my god! Yeah.
Is it like a fox's noise?
This is why I don't go camping. No. It's actually, it's similar, but a bit more scary. So anyway, I'm not going into that. So my thoughts on whether it's real. Well, look, I don't know. I really don't know. Halfway through the hunt, I was pretty convinced. And then when they said, look, we don't really have the proof and the stuff that we've sent off for scientific testing didn't come back the way that we wanted, I was just like, I don't know. I then had another bit of a look around. There's actually a podcast based on looking for these big cats in Victoria. Oh. I have not listened to it. So if any of our podcast fans want to go and have a look and see what you think, report back to us. That would be great. We could have a follow-up episode on this. This is actually a big topic. Hence, I've been rambling for so long and I'm usually so short. So it is a really big thing. I think we could look into this. It's a fun topic. It's something that we could really dissect. I love it. I just don't really see how it could be real, though. I'm open to be proven wrong, though, with proof from science. I don't win any of your shit theories. Thank you. Yeah.
That was just directed at me, people.
Except your bullshit theories turned out to be facts. So come at me with your bullshit theories, Sarah. Nobody else, though. You're all crazy. Anyway, so that rounds out my segment. I'm just going to cap out with I've had so much fun researching this topic. I mean, Bianca didn't research at all, and Sarah has done it poorly.
I think we should probably do some shout-outs, though.
I was actually just going to go to shout-outs next. But I've had so much fun researching this topic, and I really would like people to reach out to us, FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. We will talk about anything.
Yep.
Give us something interesting. We love it. Reach out to us. We absolutely love it.
If you don't want to send us an email, get onto our Facebook, Friday Night FNFW Podcast.
Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up anywhere that you can find us.
We
have to look at
it. Fuck. It's FNWF Podcast.
Anyway, tune in for next week when Bianca gets fired.
I've already been fired once this year. Can you wait till the new year, please?
No, mate.
Sarah and I got two runs on the board each. Come on. Like, I mean, you're way behind in getting fired. So anyway, so shout out.
Yes, shout outs. Well, Frenchie, well, we know you're listening. We love you.
We really would like you to reach out to us. But if you're shy, it's okay. We feel that. It's fine. Yeah. To some of our podcasts that we've been listening to recently and that we've had some interactions with, we have thoroughly enjoyed getting ourselves into the podcast community. So we would like to do some special shout outs to some podcasts that we would definitely recommend that you go and have a look at.
Yes. So I'll kick it off. Blood and Black Rum Podcast. You have been giving us so much love on Twitter and we really appreciate it. All the retweets, all the likes. I love it. I love seeing the notifications on my phone. It's just, yeah, fills me with love. And on that same token, Jock Jock, you also really giving us some love. So people, check them out. Blood and Black Rum, I'll just make sure I'm saying the right thing. They host a weekly show and they talk everything from horror to classic films. And it's sort of like they do a bit of an old school like radio type show and they, have a bit of dialogue in there. Whereas your Jock Jock, he has an improv comedy, not a pyramid scheme, fake medical education podcast. And Dr. LondonSmith.com is very funny. He is very funny. Yeah. So definitely get amongst those podcast people. They give us so much love on Twitter, and I just wanted to give them a bit of love too. Yeah.
I'd like to give a bit of a shout out to a podcast that you can find on Spotify called How Not to Date at 28. I am nearly 10 years older than the person who is hosting this podcast, but when she was talking about her different dating stories and things that have happened to her, I laughed so much and just went, oh my God, it's not just me. This happens too. It was really, really entertaining. I definitely recommend go and look it up. It is on Spotify. The other one that I wanted to do a bit of a shout out to was Let's Figure This Out. Now, this is an Australian podcast that comes out of Western Australia, and it's a little bit out of Perth. They're kind of what they call it, basically buttfuck nowhere.
Yeah. Everywhere over there is buttfuck nowhere. Yeah.
You literally get past Adelaide and every part of the rest of Australia over that side is buttfuck nowhere, really. These guys are really, really funny. There is a slight generational difference between the two hosts, but you wouldn't notice because of the way that they speak to each other and the chemistry that they have, the way that they speak to their guests. I actually listened to an episode where they were talking to a young American chick, again, about dating, and it was hilarious. I thoroughly recommend that you go and check out this podcast.
I'm glad you liked it since I recommended it to you.
I know, and I did. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and that's the reason why there has been quite a few shout outs. We're obviously we're a little bit biased. We're actually trying to listen to a few Australian podcasts because in America, the podcasting is kicking off in a big way and there is thousands, whereas here there is just not that many. So we're trying to listen to as many as we can. Just to try and get a grasp of it all and just find out what other people are doing. And yeah, I am loving the ride. So yes, let's figure it out. How Not to Date 28, look them up.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't really listen to many podcasts because I just don't get the time. But I do want to give a shout out to Uncredited Extras. Now, Amy has gone on about them. She thinks they're amazing. I actually know one of the members, and if their podcast is anything like working with this guy, it's going to be hilarious. I mean, he's pretty funny. Don't let that get to your head, Owen, because seriously, don't let it go to your head. You're not that funny, but you're funny.
Look, Owen, Hayden and Doc, we may have to do a crossover episode. If you can, we don't know. We don't know. Let's just
be anarchy. That'll just be utter anarchy. Bring it on.
It'll be utter anarchy because it's three of them and three of us, so good luck with that.
And these two are a nightmare to work with.
Look, we might get fired, Bianca, and Sarah and one of the blokes might go and do their own podcast and we might be left with the others. So,
Sure.
We might turn this into a YouTube channel of stick fights. We don't know.
Sticks mean love. Just putting it out there.
Anyway, so we have had so much fun researching this topic. I've researched this topic. I don't know about my co-hosts.
Amy's had fun researching.
Sarah's done some research, but she's found out that dictating into her phone doesn't necessarily work that well. So, But we really, really, really want some topics from our listeners. We know you guys are out there. We see the listens. We know who is listening to us constantly. I'm talking to you, Frenchie. Yeah. If you could just please send us an email, fridaynightwineflight@gmail.com, and just let us know what you want us to talk about. We will address it. We will talk about it. We will do no research and wing it right at the last minute, a bit drunk, because that's what you expect from us.
Yeah.
To everyone who's listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to our utter fucking rubbish. Mm-hmm. We hope that you found it entertaining and you're not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives, especially when it comes to buying a cat. It could be, what is it called?
A murder floof.
A murder floof. Don't buy a murder floof.
Don't buy a murder floof.
Seriously, adopt. Don't buy. Anyway, bye, y'all. Thank you.
Bye.